And it's a WRAL weather alert day. We'll see strong gusty winds as well as a line of thunderstorms this evening. I'll walk you through the rest of the afternoon.
Plus, a local sheriff's office is getting creative, filling openings. How a new promotional video could be the key.
Also, the trial is now underway for one of the people charged in the murder of an NC State student.
You heard Elizabeth. Today is a WRAL weather alert day right now. That wind has been building. Some of those storms are brewing and headed our way here. A good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. It's already windy out there, and those windy conditions will continue throughout the day. We'll experience some heavy rain this evening. You're looking live at Durham, where you're seeing those dark skies overhead. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at conditions where you are.
The dark green area is our level one risk for severe storms, which the Weather Service issued around 8 o'clock this morning, and you can see most of the viewing area covered there. The biggest threat would be damaging winds at 58 miles per hour or stronger with a line of thunder storms that will come through this evening. Let's take a look at where the front is right now. This is all going to be along a front. Earlier this morning, most of the severe storms were well up to the north, but now that is stretching down across the central and southern parts of this line. So I think it's appropriate that the Weather Service has issued that level one risk for severe storms, because we definitely have a history of this line at least producing some severe thunderstorm warnings in those yellow boxes popping up. Let's talk about the timeline for the rest of the afternoon. It's dry right now, but gradually we'll see that line crossing the mountains. And by 5 o'clock, it's starting to creep into Person County. By the time we get to 6:15, it's moving past Durham into Raleigh through Southern Pines. And then by 7:30, Goldsboro, Clinton, Rocky Mount, and pushing out into eastern North Carolina out of our viewing area. After midnight, we'll see some clearing, and then colder temperatures will arrive behind that front. This is a look at the timeline. We're going to be pretty dry until the line gets here. So I'm starting in our western counties around 5:30 and exiting around 8 or 9 o'clock in our eastern counties. It'll move through quickly, but it will produce some heavy rain and windy conditions. We have a wind advisory in effect from the Triangle area eastward with gusts up to 45 miles per hour. Right now, we're gusting to 34 in Durham and Raleigh, as well as Rocky Mount, 32 in Southern Pines, 24 in South Hill. Our peak wind gusts today from as low as 24 in Clinton to as high as 36 already in Durham and Raleigh, and we'll potentially get up to the 40s as we get through the afternoon. We'll talk more about what happens when this whole system moves out coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. The system headed our way was much stronger when it moved across the Midwest. The National Weather Service is out today surveying what's believed to be tornado damage all over the Chicago area. As many as 5 tornadoes are believed to have touched down. The storms also produced damaging winds in Michigan and Ohio, knocking out power to tens of thousands of people. Elizabeth will be back in 10 minutes with another look at today's threat here at home.
Law enforcement agencies across the country are struggling to fill the ranks. The events centered around the death of George Floyd and the COVID pandemic put a damper on recruitment during the past several years. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is live with us this noon after speaking with the Cumberland County Sheriff about his latest recruitment efforts. Gilbert.
Well, Jeff, you're right. You know, trying to recruit deputies and law enforcement officers in any agency right now is extremely difficult. But Sheriff Ennis Wright is hopeful that this new video, recruitment video that they've put together, will encourage folks to make his office a place to launch a career in law enforcement. Now, we want to share some of the video with you. He's going to be sharing it on social media. He created the recruitment video. It's just about 2 minutes long. It features deputies performing a variety of duties. The sheriff says his staffing shortage are alarming. He's authorized 755 total personnel, but only has 556 on board. That's a shortage of nearly 200 employees. Wright is most concerned about his staffing at the detention center. He's authorized 178 detention officers, but right now only 98 officers are working in the jail. Now, in addition to the recruitment video, the sheriff runs his own law enforcement academy to help fill the ranks.
We bring him in, we pay him. We offer them a bonus here when they sign a sign-on bonus when they come here. And so we pretty much get you on the mindset that you're going to work for the sheriff's office here. As a law enforcement
officer. And the sheriff says the starting salary for most deputies is about $50,000 a year. And like most employers, the law enforcement officers have optional health care and dental care, paid holiday sick leave, even a 401 plan. And the sheriff says even with all that, it is still difficult to get people to get on board in law enforcement. And Jeff, one thing he points out, that it is a very difficult job, and law enforcement is just not for everybody.
No, we know that is the truth. Certainly a tough position to fill. Gilbert Bayes, live in Cumberland County for us. Gilbert, thank you.
Opening statements began this morning in the trial of Eric Gale Hernandez Mendez. He's one of the people accused of killing an NC State student inside her apartment in 2021. Police say Christina Matos was stabbed to death on Easter Sunday inside the Signature Apartments on Hillsborough Street. An autopsy revealed Matos was stabbed 16 times. Her friends and family say Hernandez Mendez was not in the country legally, and he was going to pay her $15,000 in exchange for a marriage license. This is a trial expected to last more than a week. New information in the search for the parents of a baby who was the subject of an Amber Alert. Chapel Hill officials say Jaxton Brown was handed to a probation officer Monday night. Police are still looking for Justin Brown and Destiny Cothran, who have criminal histories. Their car was left outside the Big Lots store in Durham. Security video showed them taking the days-old baby from the car and walking into the woods. We've also learned that both parents have active warrants.
We're working on a developing story out of Greenville this noon hour. A man is in custody after shooting another person and getting into a shootout with Greenville police. WRL's Ken Smith is here now to take us through how this scene played out this morning. Ken.
You know, Jeff, this incident reportedly happened around 8:30 this morning near a couple of schools and the campus of East Carolina University. Here's what we've been able to confirm. Greenville's police chief Ted Saul says the suspect shot an ECU employee in what appears to be an unprovoked attack. Now, the person who was shot is expected to survive. Now, after the shooting, the suspect took off on a bike. Greenville police officers eventually caught up to him and confronted that man. That's when an exchange of gunfire happened. No one got hit. Officers were able to arrest that man after that exchange of bullets. Now, with all this happening, two nearby schools, an elementary school and a Catholic school, were placed on lockdown that has since been lifted. We're, of course, working to find out the suspect's ID and what led up to that initial shooting of that ECU employee. We'll continue to update this story with any new information online at WREL.com, on the WREL News app, and, of course, in our news starting at 4.
A pretty scary situation for everyone nearby there. Ken, thank you.
Two people, including a five-year-old, are being treated for injuries after a crash in Moore County. This happened just after 7:30 this morning on Carlisle Avenue at the intersection of West Wisconsin Avenue and Southern Pines. The child was flown to the trauma center at UNC Hospitals. An adult female was taken to the hospital by ambulance with non-life-threatening injuries. No word on what caused the crash. Raleigh police are investigating after a vehicle crashed into a church. This is video of the Forest Hills Baptist Church on Dixie Trail near Clark Avenue. That's just a block north of Hillsborough Street. It's unclear what caused the vehicle to hit the facade. We're also working to learn if anyone was hurt or whether charges have been filed.
Former President Donald Trump is celebrating another big win after the Michigan primaries, while President Joe Biden's victory met some opposition from Arab American voters. Trump beat challenger Nikki Haley by more than 40 percentage points. The state's Republican Party chair referred to Trump as the presumptive nominee and said he also relayed that message to Haley. Meanwhile, Biden earned just over 80% of the vote in the Democratic primary. About 13% of voters chose uncommitted on the ballot. It's about 100,000 people. It was part of a grassroots effort to cast protest votes over Biden's handling of the war in Gaza. On the same day Trump won the GOP primary, a Michigan court affirmed the removal of Christina Caramo as the state's Republican Party chair. Under Caramo's leadership, the Michigan GOP has suffered from internal and financial issues. Former ambassador and congressman Peter Hoekstra said that he was elected as the new chairman. Hoekstra has been recognized by the RNC and former President Trump as the rightful chair.
President Biden went to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center this morning for his annual physical. Two aides who traveled with the president to Walter Reed on Marine One. Biden last underwent a routine physical exam a year ago in February 2023. The White House expects to release a written summary of the findings later in the day. Biden is scheduled to return to the White House this afternoon. Funeral services for Alexei Navalny will be held Friday at a cemetery in Moscow. Today, Navalny's wife addressed the EU Parliament in Strasbourg, where she blamed his death on Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Killed my husband, Alexei Navalny. On his orders, Alexei was tortured for 3 years. He was starved in a tiny stone cell, cut off from the outside world and denied visits, phone calls, and then even letters. And then they killed him. Even after that, they abused his body.
Yulia Navalny says mourners are invited to attend the service, but she is unsure if it will be peaceful.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Hunter Biden testified today saying that he never involved his father, President Biden, in any of his business decisions. Hunter right now is appearing before the House Oversight and Judiciary Committees in their impeachment inquiry of his father, which has focused largely on Hunter's involvement of foreign business dealings. But Hunter did say, "I did not involve my father in my business while I was a practicing lawyer, not in my investments or transactions, never." This all comes as House Republicans have struggled to uncover any evidence that Joe Biden benefited from or played a role in the business pursuits of his family members. Hunter said he has had his share of failures and flaws, but those should reflect on him and not his father.
Thanks, Michelle. If you have a legal question, you can get it answered for free this week. Five on Your Side is partnering with the North Carolina Bar Foundation for Lawyers on Call. Call in Friday, this Friday, to talk to a licensed lawyer absolutely free. The public service here is completely anonymous, designed to connect you with free legal information.
Next at noon, a scare for prosecutors in Paris after a computer was stolen. What it had to do with the upcoming Olympics that had investigators worried.
Also, a big change at Mardi Gras next year. Why beads are being eliminated from the festivities.
Plus, it's led to lawsuits in the past. At 12:30, the discussion happening at Wake Schools today about current methods of discipline.
Keep watching WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Today, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing the case on whether to protect or overturn a ban on bump stocks on guns. Bump stocks are devices added to semi-automatic rifles to essentially allow them to be fired more rapidly, like a machine gun. In 2017, a gunman used semi-automatic rifles equipped with bump stocks to carry out the deadliest mass shooting in Las Vegas. 60 people died. More than 400 people were injured. A decision on the case is expected by the end of June. In vitro fertilization advocates are expected to rally outside the state capitol in Montgomery, Alabama today. The move comes after that state's Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos are human beings. Some lawmakers are scrambling to push through legislation today that would shield IVF providers from legal punishment. Now, under the court's ruling, those who destroy embryos can be liable for wrongful death.
When a person struggles with a personality trait called perfectionism, it can have a dangerous impact on their mental health and even future successes. Mandy Gaither shares the negative effects of trying to be perfect and how parents can help their children avoid perfectionism.
It can lead to great success, but also a fear of failure. Perfectionism is defined as a personality trait when a person sets unreasonably high standards and has unrealistic expectations for themselves. It's often coupled with intense self-criticism.
It really drives us into a place of constantly pushing to the point of extreme stress and overwhelm and burnout.
Licensed psychotherapist Jody Baumstein with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta's Strong for Life program says children and teens need to hear that nobody is perfect and there's no expectation for them to be either. But she says parents need to remember the same.
So if we make a mistake, we can't be overly critical and beating ourselves up. We need to respond with patience and compassion and teach them how to work through a mistake.
Parents can also help by focusing on a child's effort, not the outcome.
So they bring home their report card with all A's, and what do we say? We praise them for getting all A's. But now they're focused just on the outcome. So instead, what we want to do is actually focus on effort, I'm proud of how hard you worked this year.
Finally, Baumstein says for parents to talk about the difference between I failed and I'm a failure.
So when they think I failed, well, then they're motivated. They see that this is a moment in time. It's temporary. It's something everybody experiences. And there's something they can do better next time.
It is a challenge. That was Mandy Gaither reporting. Now, if your child already struggles with perfectionism and is having trouble with intense self-criticism, help them to see themselves positively by asking what they would say to a friend.
Prosecutors in Paris say a stolen computer did not contain security plans for the upcoming Olympic Games. The bag was taken off a train Monday evening. At first, investigators thought it contained sensitive information, but now officials say it only contained notes related to traffic. Some 30,000 police are expected to be mobilized every day there, and the Paris Olympics will be held from July 26th through August 11th, and WRAL is your official station for the Summer Games. Get ready for a big change at Mardi Gras. Beginning next year, the crew of Ferret will not allow riders on their floats to throw plastic beads from them. The new rule came after the 10th parade this year. The organization vows to remove more than 2 million potentially toxic beads from the New Orleans ecosystem over the next 10 years. The crew plans to provide reusable handmade items like hats and fanny packs and hand-decorated masks. We'll see if some of the other crews for those parades join in and take care of that ecosystem.
No festive feel today with all the clouds out there and then the wind as well, even though we have warm temperatures. Elizabeth Gardner and the WRAL Severe Weather Center with what we can expect on our WRAL Weather Alert Day.
So many times in the spring, we have the warm temperatures right as the front's coming through. So, yeah, it kind of feels wasted. It'd like, be nice to have just a quiet day with these warm temperatures. And we'll likely get that maybe sometime next week. Of course, we've been talking about the wind. We have a wind advisory for parts of the viewing area. We have rain that is likely to be heavy when our band of thunderstorms comes through this evening. And then behind the system, our temperatures will drop dramatically overnight into tomorrow morning. So that's what we're looking at with our WRAL Weather Alert Day. We have a level one risk for severe storms for most of the viewing area. That means as the system moves across the region, it could produce winds gusting up to 58 miles per hour. Winds likely to be gusting up to around 40 miles per hour out ahead of it. We'll take another look at where the front is right now. We have a number of severe thunderstorm warnings there. You see the yellow boxes that have popped up as this is moving through East Tennessee, about to cross the mountains. It may weaken some as it crosses the mountains, but certainly we have the chance of maybe one or two storms that could produce some wind damage. Right now, it's all quiet on dual Doppler 5000 radar. So no rain now, but we are watching our front approaching us. It's likely to begin to move into the viewing area as early as around 5 by 6:30. It's moving through the Triangle area all the way up to, say, Roanoke Rapids, back down through the Sandhills. It is going to be a fast mover, and you can see it is narrow. So as it moves through, it's going to dump a lot of heavy rain with windy conditions, but it's not going to stick around in one place for very long. It moves to the I-95 corridor by 7:30, and then most of it into eastern North Carolina after that. Might be one or two stray showers behind it, and then the back edge of the clouds could produce a shower overnight, and behind it, we're going to see the door open to much colder temperatures. Wind advisory in effect now, and we are seeing some windy conditions. Winds are gusting 30 to 35 miles per hour already, and this afternoon later on, especially right ahead of and right behind the front, winds could be gusting up to around 45. Our winds are coming out of the south, so that's why it's so warm. The steady wind is on the left, so we're steady at 24 in Southern Pines, gusting to 32. The gust is on the right box, so we're gusting to 34 in Raleigh, 34 in Rocky Mountain, 28 in Goldsboro. So it is windy out there right now. This is a look at the highest gusts that we've seen so far today. Goldsboro, 42. This is actually what we could see later on this afternoon. 42 Goldsboro, 41 Rocky Mountain, and 41 in Roxboro. We'll take a look at what we have seen coming up again in just a few minutes. We take a live look at Wilson. Wilson's always such a great place to look at. You see the whirligigs and how much they're spinning. Big change now compared to what we saw like 3 hours ago. Around 9 o'clock, they were spinning, but sort of lazily, and now they're really whirling around. 66 is our temperature currently, but we could be 10 degrees warmer than that ahead of the front this afternoon. It is 70 in Fayetteville and 72 in Clinton. We're looking at low to mid 60s up near the Virginia line. 76 for the high temperature in Raleigh, 73 in Durham, and 79 in Fayetteville. Once our front comes through, our temperatures will likely drop down into the 50s on Thursday and Friday. So a big change coming our way. We have another chance for rain late Friday into Saturday. I'll walk you through the timeline for that so you can plan your weekend coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. In less than a week, North Carolinians will be taken to the polls to vote in the primaries. Tonight at 5:30, WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie looks at the GOP candidates hoping to win your vote for governor.
Plus, animals without vet care or water, dirty living conditions. Tonight at 6, WRL investigates the surge in problems found in taxpayer-funded animal shelters and how the state is trying to help. And still ahead this noon, Apple scraps a plan to build an electric vehicle after a decade of work. Coming up, what an internal memo reveals about the tech company's future plans.
And rapper Ye faces a new lawsuit for reportedly using another artist's music without permission. The song at the center of the dispute after the break. A new survey shows that many retirees are struggling to make ends meet, and Gen Zers may not be able to retire at all. Financial experts say to retire comfortably, Americans need a little over $1 million in the bank. But a good chunk of retirees only have an average of almost $143,000. In a recent survey, nearly 40% of participants said they are very concerned that they will outlive their retirement savings. Some airline passengers will no longer have to show their physical IDs or boarding passes. That's because United Airlines is expanding its touchless ID technology at some airports. You can simply scan your face and drop off your bag to an agent. TSA PreCheck members will enroll people in the service via the United app. The feature is only available to single passenger reservations for people 18 years old and up. Delta implemented similar technology at its hubs in New York, Detroit, and Atlanta.
The estate of Donna Summer is suing Ye and Ty Dolla $ign for copyright infringement. According to the lawsuit, the estate rejected Ye's request for permission to use the 1977 song I Feel Love in a recording. The estate stated it wanted no association with West's controversial history. The lawsuit is looking for monetary damages and an injunction to block further distribution of the song. Summer died of lung cancer in 2012. TikTok says it is removing more music from its platform amid an ongoing dispute with Universal Music Group. The two sides are clashing over royalty payments. Universal Music Group claims TikTok isn't paying its artists enough. TikTok began muting songs from artists signed to the label after a licensing deal between the two expired at the end of January.
Apple is putting the brakes on plans to build an electric vehicle. Employees working on Project Titan will now be shifted to generative artificial intelligence, and there will also be some layoffs. The EV was expected to potentially match the capabilities of Tesla vehicles. The decision comes after Apple's self-driving plans hit some snags, with the scheduled launch delayed to 2026 and features were scaled back. Lawmakers may have a way to avoid a government shutdown, the delicate balancing act confronting House Speaker Mike Johnson.
The largest school district in the state is reviewing how it disciplines its students. We have a preview of the findings of a new report. And here are your winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Today is a WRAL weather alert day. We're under a level one risk for storms, and a wind advisory has been issued for much of our viewing area.
This afternoon, a lot of folks will experience windy conditions out there. There'll be some heavy rain potential later this evening. And Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center right now with a look at conditions.
The wind is already kicking up on this weather alert day. The wind advisory went into effect at 10 a.m. And so we'll walk through how strong the winds have been so far. Certainly through the afternoon, we're looking at 35 to 45 mile per hour gusts. But when our line of thunderstorms comes in this evening after 5 o'clock, we could see winds gusting over 58 to 60 miles per hour, and that will have a better chance of doing some damage. Here's our level one risk, and again, that's where we could see a few isolated storms that could produce some wind damage. And again, the timeline for that's going to be about 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock this evening. Here's a look at the front right now, and it is producing a number of current active severe thunderstorm warnings in Tennessee and into Georgia. That will cross the mountains and weaken a little bit, but we still have the potential to see a handful of those producing some severe storms. We are dry right now. There's nothing on the radar, but by the time we get to 5 o'clock, we start to see this moving closer to us at about 6:15. I mean, it's a fast mover. It's right through the middle of the viewing area, and then by 7:30, it's on the eastern edge, and then right on out of here. So we'll go over how much colder it's going to be on the backside of the system coming up.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have an update to a story we first told you about on Monday, a devastating, deadly fire in Cumberland County. Police have just released the names of the victims. We are learning that 68-year-old Wanda Wilson, 37-year-old Amber Nucci, and 21-year-old Dylan Townsend have all died in that fire. Firefighters did respond to this home on Unicorn Drive in St. Paul's on Monday afternoon. Officials say a relief valve on a propane tank on the property popped off, making that fire larger. The preliminary investigation revealed there were no signs of foul play.
Today marks 6 months since a dark day on UNC's campus, the deadly shooting that claimed the life of Professor Zijie Yin. He was shot, police say, in his lab by one of his grad students. That student, Tylee Chi, is in custody at a mental health facility at Butner Prison. WRL has reported two mental health evaluations indicate he is unfit to stand trial. Prosecutors hope rehabilitation will change that. We should get an update at his next court date, which is scheduled for June. The weapon used in the shooting still has not been found. Police are working to make an arrest in an early morning shooting. Officers say two men were shot on North Elizabeth Street in Durham shortly after midnight. They were taken to the hospital with serious but non-life-threatening injuries. Their names and conditions have not been released.
Partial government shutdown could go into effect in the coming days if Congress fails to pass a spending bill. If a bill is not passed by the end of this week, funding for about a third of government agencies will expire. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson's job hangs in the balance as well, requiring special care to appease his right flank while maintaining government operations.
We believe that we can get to agreement on these issues and prevent a government shutdown, and that's our first responsibility.
And if a funding bill is not passed between now and Friday, 630,000 federal workers will stop getting paid. Most of them will still have to show up for work. Fortunately, a recently passed law guarantees they will get back pay once the government reopens.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, following some breaking news out of Washington, this just in, Mitch McConnell has announced he will be stepping down in November. He is the longest serving Senate leader in history. He turned 82 last week, and he said in a statement, one of life's most underappreciated talents is to know when it's time to move on to life's next chapter. So I stand before you today to say that this will be my last term as Republican leader of the Senate. He gave no specific reason for the timing of his decision, but he did cite the recent death of his wife's youngest sister as a moment that prompted it. Again, Mitch McConnell stepping down come November.
In just a few hours, Wake County Public School leaders will meet to review data detailing how students are disciplined. They will specifically examine incidents where students are restrained or secluded. WRL's Laura Levine explains hundreds of situations like this happen each year.
School leaders will meet here this afternoon with the Student Achievement Committee, and they're going to take a closer look at these incidents of seclusion and restraint in Wake County schools. I can tell you, looking at that presentation, there's been so far this year 864 incidents against 240 students. That's the latest data through December. Now, Wake has been sued over how it secludes students in the past and has been ordered to report the incidents accurately. In August, the school district was ordered to pay $450,000 and to make some changes after a disabled child was placed in a closet more than 20 times. This is the first time since that lawsuit that the board will be discussing this in open session. Under state law, students are allowed to be restrained or secluded to prevent injury, fighting, or property destruction, but only as a last resort. Schools cannot use restraint or seclusion merely as a disciplinary measure. In the past, Wake Schools has been criticized for reporting these incidents as timeouts instead. The Student Achievement Committee, again, will meet here with school leaders beginning at 3 p.m. Laura Levine, WREL News in Cary.
St. Augustine's University in Raleigh is filing a lawsuit after losing its accreditation. This means the university stands to lose federal funding, and that's a huge concern because nearly 85% of the student body receives federal financial aid.
The Southern Association of Colleges and Schools cited issues with the school's governing board and finances, which includes paying faculty late. University students aren't the only ones affected by this decision. Hundreds of high school students in the Wake Young Men's and Women's Leadership Academies earn college credits at St. Augustine's. Parents say they are hoping for the best outcome.
St. Aug has served our family well, and it is unfortunate that they are in the situation that they're in right now.
Wake County Public Schools says it is closely monitoring the experience for its students in the early college. They don't expect to lose any credits because St. Augustine's can remain accredited while its lawsuit plays out in court.
If you want a sick note from your doctor, you may need to pay up. Why some physicians say they are charging significant fees for seemingly small requests.
Plus, we'll explain how artificial intelligence can help emergency vehicles avoid red lights and get to where they need to go when seconds count. We want to see what's happening in your neighborhood with today's windy conditions and potential for storms later. Be sure it's safe to take pictures or video, and then look for the report it link on WRL.com or the WRL News app.
The FDA is recalling four eye ointment products due to infection risks. The items were made by Brassica Pharma and sold at Walmart and CVS. The recalled eye products were sold under the brands Equate, CVS Health, and AACE Pharmaceuticals. Inspectors found unsanitary conditions at a facility in India where the products were made. The FDA urges people to stop using these products immediately and return them to where you bought them.
Whether it's smoking, vaping, or eating, any use of marijuana, experts say, increases your risk of heart attack and stroke. According to a new study published by the American Heart Association, daily users had a 42% higher risk of stroke and a 25% higher risk of heart attack. Meanwhile, non-daily users also had an increased risk, but it just wasn't as high. Some physicians are now charging patients hundreds of dollars for administrative tasks like writing sick notes and approving medication refills. The charge is in response to growing demand on the time it takes the medics to reply to emails and document requests, which they say up to hours of unpaid labor per week is what they entail. Some physicians hope the additional charges will reduce the number of non-urgent requests by patients.
The owner of an auction house in Maryland makes a pricey find while going through donated items.
I thought, what could be in that coffee can? And then when I saw it was full of all of these bank envelopes full of hundreds.
After the break, we'll share the origin of the hidden treasure.
Plus, an AI platform is helping reduce traffic in communities across the nation. Coming up, we'll explain how the cloud-based software could speed up emergency response times when seconds count.
Right now in the WRL Live Center, a student at McDougal Middle School threatened staff on Monday, and now a juvenile petition has been issued for threats of mass violence on an educational property. On Monday, that student made comments in front of staff that was interpreted as a threat against the school. The principal said police were made aware of the situation. They say right now at this time, no further information will be released.
Thanks, Michelle. A platform that uses artificial intelligence is helping first responders travel to emergencies as quickly as possible. Mark Sayer examines how the cloud-based system could improve the flow of traffic and improve air quality as well.
When you need help in an emergency, every second counts. And some of those valuable seconds can be used up when emergency vehicles are delayed in traffic or at intersections. And that's where AI comes into the picture.
So when it comes down to you or me or a loved one having a health problem, we want to have responders there as soon as possible. So how can we learn about daily variations? AI is the greatest choice.
Tim Menard is CEO of a Santa Clara-based company called Light, which has developed a cloud-based AI system to link regional traffic management centers to the emergency vehicles that use the roadways.
Here's the fire station. Here's where the truck has to go to. Here's the traffic. What's the perceived amount of congestion? Are there people walking around? So that the road gets set up with green lights ahead of time so that everybody's out of the way.
This is a demonstration video provided by the company from Seattle, where it is already operating. You can see on this map, every single traffic signal along this route turns green by the time the fire unit reaches the intersection. The system will even adjust in real time if the fire crew makes a last-minute route change.
One thing where AI is really helpful in is actually the predictivity of, hey, are they going to be able to go down this primary street, or is there an event and they're going to have to go right or go left or use a back alley, right? It's notorious that emergency responders know different ways around the city. So AI in this case here is able to predict where they're going to go so that those lights can be set off.
That was Mark Sayre reporting, and the CEO of Lyft says the AI on this platform is only being used to process traffic flow data. It's not collecting identifiable information like license plate numbers.
The next time you decide to donate clothes or anything else from your house, be sure to double check them first. Go through them. A woman in Maryland received a phone call from lawyers saying a loved one had passed, and she went to Virginia to empty his estate and donated some of his belongings. A short time later, the woman received a call asking her to return to the auction house because they made a major find to the tune of $61,000.
Think that it was probably, you know, someone whose parents had lived through the Great Depression and sort of didn't trust banks, but he was also a coin collector. We're just thinking he, you know, just one of those people that wanted it around.
The owner adds they find secret items all the time, but this was by far one of their biggest finds. And kudos to the people who found the $61,000, reported it, called the woman, and gave it back to her.
Yeah, just tuck that away for a rainy day.
No, they could have, but they didn't.
That's right. How could you? How could you live with yourself? Right?
True.
Speaking of rainy days, Elizabeth Gardner over there in the WRI Severe Weather Center right now. It's a coming.
It is. It's going to be quick, probably an hour max, maybe even less than that. It's a really narrow band of rain that's along this front. The wind has a big deal with how today is feeling. We have a flow coming out of the southwest. It's pumping all this warm air in ahead of the front. And you can just start to pick up the wind streams now coming out of the northwest behind the front. That's going to deliver some much colder air tonight. Along the front right now, we do have a number of severe thunderstorm warnings that are still in progress moving into the mountains of North Carolina. So we have that potential for this evening, and we will have Storm Tracker out following these storms as they move through the viewing area. It's likely to be during the evening commute and during dinner time. So make sure that you tune in as soon as that line of thunderstorms approaches. Turn on the TV and we'll let you know what's happening. Kat and Mike will both be tracking those storms. We have a wind advisory that's in effect right now from the Triangle area eastward for gusts up to 45 miles per hour. We haven't seen gusts quite that high yet, but we certainly have that potential. And this is a look at our future cast wind gusts, likely gusting up to 39 in Clinton, 39 in Rocky Mount, and 40 in Roxboro by the time we get to 1 or 2 o'clock this afternoon. We take a look at our potential for power outages. It is isolated. We're not likely to see a lot of widespread power outages. The best chance of power outages is going to be with that line of storms that comes through between, say, 5 and 9 o'clock this evening. No rain falling right now. It is breezy out there, certainly, and it's gray. We take a look at Goldsboro. And Goldsboro, this camera tends to be pretty susceptible to the wind, and it is moving around out there. Apex is gray. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course Fayetteville, our newsroom right there on Hay Street. We do have that level one risk for severe storms, and that means that winds would be at 58 miles per hour or stronger, and that could knock down a tree or two. I wouldn't expect anything widespread, but again, we'll have Storm Tracker out following these storms and letting you know what's happening out there. We'll stay dry until the line of storms arrives, and that is likely to start to move close to the viewing area by around 5. By 6 o'clock, it's moving through Durham, South Hill, headed toward Raleigh and Southern Pines. By 7 o'clock, we're looking at Rocky Mount, Goldsboro, Fayetteville, and then by 9 o'clock, it's really pulling out of the viewing area. Behind it, we'll see some quick clearing this evening, and behind that is when we'll see the cold air starting to filter in. We'll really notice that. How about Friday? We've been talking for the last several days that we'll likely see some rain developing on Friday. A low will move to our south, spreading that rain northward. It's likely to be wet to start the day on Saturday, but the computer models have been showing some drying in the afternoon. I'm not sure that we're going to clear out, but it definitely looks like we could dry out. But Sunday, there may be enough lingering moisture for an isolated shower or two. It would be fairly light, so your best windows to get outside would be Saturday afternoon and again Sunday, but I can't promise that it will be completely dry any of those days. Taking a look at our forecast rainfall for today, it's likely to be close to half an inch or or so, and then another quarter of an inch as we get into late Friday and Saturday. Nice and mild over the weekend after a cold snap for tomorrow and Friday. We're back into the 70s by next Tuesday. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with your top stories.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The trial for one of two people charged in the killing of an NC State student in 2021 is underway. Opening statements began today in the case involving Eric Gale Hernandez Mendez. He's accused of stabbing his wife, Christina Matos, to death on Easter Sunday inside their apartment on Hillsborough Street.
Parents of an infant who was the subject of a statewide Amber Alert are still not in custody. Justin Brown and Destiny Cothran both have outstanding warrants for their arrest. WRL has learned the Department of Social Services tried to take custody of their 8-day-old baby boy, Jackson. Now, that was Friday. Chapel Hill police say the couple handed the baby to a probation officer on Monday and left.
The other big story today is the weather. The system headed our way right now has already produced damaging winds and tornadoes across the Midwest. As meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has said, that same system will bring storms to our area during the evening commute. And our area is under a level one threat for severe weather.
Our teacher of the week has spent almost a quarter century working with people who have disabilities. Now, WRL's Brian Schrader takes us to a Johnston County classroom where a teacher is working to make sure her students are included.
He's going to be the winner of the game.
Amanda Johnson's journey to becoming a life skills teacher is a personal one.
I have a sibling who is disabled from a car accident. That's hard. And that's where my passion came from and my drive to work with students with disabilities.
For 7 years, Johnson has been teaching here at Cleveland High School in Johnston County. Now, here's how the Life Skills program works. Students can enter at 14 and stay until they're 22, learning skills they need to be employed. Johnson also helped start the school's unified sports program through Special Olympics. It brings together about 100 students with and without disabilities to participate in sports.
They get that exposure of what it's like to be a part of a team and to be recognized, to have your name called over to intercom every day.
Ms. Johnson? Hey, you're WRL's Teacher of the Week.
Wow!
Let's clap our
hands. A parent nominated Johnson, saying that she had a tremendous effect on her child's life.
These are tears of joy, because I think a lot of times, even within our own school, people don't know what's going on in here. Warms my heart.
In Cleveland, I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Well, she knows. And if you'd like to nominate a teacher, you can go to WRAL.com, enter Teacher of the Week in the search box. Pet of the daytime, Molly is a sweet cat who loves belly rubs, treats, and being brushed. And when Molly arrived at Cat Angel's shelter, she gave birth to 4 kittens. She dislikes loud noises and would do best being adopted alongside her best kitty friend, Rusty. While she starts out shy, she quickly warms up to anyone that cares for her. You can go to catangelsnc.org to learn more.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes. Have a great day, everybody, and stay with WRAL.
Stay safe with the latest WRAL Weather Alert Day info. Get up to the minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.